It's time for Viewmaster on 95BFM, brought to you by Neon.
Hot diggity dog, we've got Alex and AD in the studio with us. Double feature. It's double a double
bill.
Feature. Yeah, double bill. Yeah. All right.
Double bill. Stay up late.
Double feature.
You've been binging on Viewmaster hosts today.
How you going, guys?
Pretty good.
Really good. How are you, Mike?
Very good. Very good. I'm anxious to hear what we've got to talk about today. Jumping with excitement.
Yeah, okay. You're sitting down.
I'm fair jumping out of my britches.
It's actually good because this show makes me a little anxious. Did it make you anxious?
Some parts of it made me anxious. Some parts of it made me excited. Some parts of it made me uncomfortable. Other parts made me paranoid. Other parts made me go, I'm glad that I'm not dealing drugs in South Central LA
in the 80s.
Some parts of it made me wish that I was dealing drugs in South Central
LA.
What parts?
All the parts where he succeeds.
Yeah, there's...
And then all the parts where he doesn't.
The parts... We're talking about a very exciting series called Snowfall.
Has anyone seen it? We've seen it. So Snowfall is a show set in LA. It's not just all in South Central LA, but South Central's where one of the main key characters is, Franklin.
That's right, yeah.
Franklin's an African-American, black, young, beautiful teen.
Well, see, there you go, Eddie.
And we'll tell you a little bit about him later.
That was described as an order of importance.
Yeah, I don't know what was the most important. Beautiful, I think.
Yeah.
And Franklin's sort of about 18, eh? He's about 18 years old?
Yeah, I think he's about 18. He's out of high school,
lives
for sure.
Lives with a solo mum.
He's got a friend who's been in juvie for a bit.
But he's a good kid. He is a really good kid. But he realises...
Till a point.
And then he realises he can make some money and get his, you know, support
if a kid,
his mum.
If a kid that's just out of high school selling weed for his uncle is a good kid, yep.
You know, like, it's funny because it paints that as like a paradigm of virtue, you know, like that's entrepreneurial, right? That's like you're just
making your way.
He's
Same as the Dukes of Hazzard, making the way the only way they know how. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow, you know.
Wow, I'm so glad I am alive to witness that.
Yeah.
So this TV show kind of has it has three stories really that we're following. One's Teddy, the CIA agent, who's also getting involved in the crack cocaine.
Yeah.
I think we need to slow back and just explain what it's basically about. The birth of the crack cocaine culture in LA, this particular gentleman's
in the 1980s. Previously there was cocaine.
There was certainly cocaine.
After this TV show, there was crack cocaine.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the Mexican family. The daughter of this, they deal in marijuana, right? They're like a crime family, but she sees the potential for more money.
Yeah.
But secretly, not so her family doesn't really know.
They deal in cocaine. They're cocaine.
Are they marijuana?
No, they're dealing in cocaine, but then they're not ready for the crack explosion either.
Right. Okay.
Cocaine or cocaine?
Blow.
Okay. Yeah.
There's a kind of genre unto itself of television shows these days, I think, in which the sort of system changing is what drives the show itself. And so like Mad Men is kind of the progenitor of that, I think. Mindhunter is another one, like the birth of criminal psychology.
Yeah. Right, that's great.
The Juice, right? The sort of like the birth of pornography as we know it.
Yeah, and then it took a while to get going though, didn't it? The Juice.
Love it.
Sort of just
slow burn. Love it.
Yeah, slow burn. Slow burn up to the last episode. And then, oh, come on. Jesus.
But then this show is very much like on the coattails of that, like, you know, the system was cocaine and then it becomes crack cocaine and explores the aftermath of that.
And it's the creators, one of the creators, there's three creators, I think, but I don't know the other two, but one of them's John Singleton, who's most famous for Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
And that's why I kind of feel like Franklin's story is the strongest, because it's sort of more his experiences.
It definitely feels the most authentic.
Well, it's the one I care about so much, and I actually get, that's what I mean, I get anxious. I feel like I just want to protect him every time I watch it.
So the show follows these three storylines.
Yeah.
What would you do to protect him, Heidi?
Bring him to New Zealand, Mikey. That's what I would do. I've got a second bedroom.
Bring him to New Zealand.
I've talked about it with the fiancé.
You billet him out.
I'll get him a job on a film crew.
I've got somewhere safe you can stay.
He could be unit boy on our
anywhere in New Zealand.
That sounds like he'd make as much money as he would.
I think he's having a good time in South Central
LA. Massive amounts of crack cocaine.
He could work his way up.
With his Israeli mate.
So should we talk about that actor? Because this actor's really great. He's a really great guy. And I was like,
Damson Idris. We should say that this is populated. The cast is populated entirely of unknowns. They're sort of like,
that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's nothing distracting about the casting. Yeah. You know, you can fully invest yourself in the reality of the character.
Guy Teddy, who I'm not a fan of, and purely, I'm so embarrassed to say, he's just not good looking enough. Like, I'm like, this is television. He's a CIA agent. I'm just like, oh god, we're into his story. I don't know, man. I just feel like, whatever. But anyway, they found him.
Do you think that CIA agents should be hunky?
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe want your TV versions of your CIA
agents.
And
I don't mean like hunky. I mean hunky. I don't mean like he needs to be muscly hunky, like American surfy hunky. I just mean he has to have something going on. But they found him on
like Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom. Boys hunky.
Well, because you don't want to just think the 18-year-old boy's hunky when you're my age. You need a kind of, you know, you need a bit of range. But anyways, I can't even find the wrestler
range.
More hunky
you
than
need
the
a bit of
agent.
Range.
You do need a bit of range.
So
let me ask you this. Do you find the quiet, strong, silent Mexican guy?
The wrestler, I find him a little bit sexy.
Yeah.
He's not as smart as a CIA agent. But
or isn't he?
Well, I think, episode 5, things changed for him. But so they found that guy, Teddy, the not-so-hunky CIA agent from in the theatre world in New York.
Is that true?
So he'd been doing a play. You know one of those plays that just goes for years? And one of the producer's wife saw him and they couldn't find anyone.
Off-Broadway kind of thing.
I think one of the two-hander really good plays, but massive.
Right.
What does that mean, two-hander?
Blake Bird or something.
Two people. They talk for an hour and 10 minutes. They're always good plays.
But it's captivating.
Well, you have to be a very good actor to do those plays. Yeah. So they found him, and then old Franklin character. He's English, and he's like graduated from RADA. He's super middle class, really posh sounding, and he had to come over and do this day with John Singleton, and they just spent the whole day hanging out in the hood, and he had to just keep the accent up and everything, and then he only bummed it up when he met John's mum, and he's like, oh. He did it in his American accent, but he was saying, oh, it's so lovely to meet you. And she's like, who is this kid? He's not from here. And then John's like, you can't say that word. You can't say lovely.
Lovely has no place on the streets of South Central LA.
Gorgeous, pretty.
But he nails it, eh? Like, I'm always
delightful.
I've never guessed that. In a million years, eh?
It must piss off American actors, though. There's so many millions of them.
Well, Samuel L. Jackson recently did get mad about this because of the casting of Get Out. He said that Daniel Kaluuya should not have been cast in that film because he is not an American.
But we don't know that, right? Like, I don't know.
No, I love it. It keeps the mystery alive, and it's like, you know, if you guys are going to hog all the parts, like Samuel L. Jackson's a fine one to talk.
You would hope that the directors of these films are casting the best person.
Well,
Idris Elba.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if Idris Elba hadn't been in The Wire. That would have been a sad show. No, it wouldn't have. It still would have been great.
That's a perfect example of, for a long time, I never knew he was an English actor.
No,
you
had no clue.
He was perfect.
Pre-Luther.
I don't know.
Anyway, you're in love with the lead actor, so we've established that. It's fair enough, too. There's many shows like that. I keep that sort of thing a little bit more close to my chest.
Who was your favourite character from So Fall?
I liked all of them. I liked this kind of stupid sort of Ben and Juvie mate. It was kind of cool. I liked the uncle and the uncle's girlfriend. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A good time. The Jerry Curl.
Oh, they're great. Yeah. They're so fantastic. So they're sort of the marijuana. I couldn't say marijuana. Oh my God. I'm having
say
pot
canvas,
dealers.
Canvas.
Pot dealers.
Yeah.
But they're really protective of them, eh? It's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
it's,
like again.
I like the lady who runs the speakeasy sort of.
She's so scary.
That was a nice performance actually from her.
She leads him into all sorts of the boudoir.
She's alluring,
the boudoir.
But then she sort of slams him.
I don't give too much away.
Hey, what about the drug dealer, Israeli?
Yeah, very fantastic.
If he's not in an episode, do you notice it? You feel it, eh? I was like, hey, where's he?
Although I feel that they sometimes sit on belong. Yeah, this he's great. He's great though, and he's terrifying. You know, like, you actually see him really do anything bad, but you just feel that he's not to be messed with.
I couldn't believe that he actually apologized to the CIA character in that one scene very early on in the season when he walks. You know, when he
without ruining it.
Yeah, ruining anything.
Oh, it doesn't.
I really thought he was about to basically shoot him in the
face. You never know.
That's the best thing about good TV shows.
You or love you.
It's written really well, the show, too. You'd think, I mean, it could so easily fall into cliches, and it doesn't.
I think at its worst, it does feel like a sort of a slightly trite retelling of the shows or films that have sort of done the same thing bit or more authentically in the last like 20 years, like Traffic and, you know, Boys in the Hood again.
But they all work on some really, it's all high point after high point after high point. Whereas I like say things like they, you know how they, without trying to ruin it, they have to go, they have to take a drive in that car.
Oh, yeah.
And all the carry on that goes with that. Mm-hmm. That's really nice and drawn out and really outside the comfort zone sort of thing. And totally. And the bit where...
There's a revenge episode and it literally
Rohingya!
And it's a one...
Rohingya! I love
it. And it's actually one episode for Franklin's revenge on something that we don't need to tell you about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's sort of like they kind of don't stick to the normal rules, I guess.
I think if you love television and you've heard all of us talking about it now, then and you don't watch it, then...
you finish Stranger Things too.
But if you're pregnant, I don't suggest... I think... Look.
What?
I feel like...
Are you pregnant?
I'm pregnant. 80. But I feel like I'd
have... I'm pregnant.
Alex is pregnant.
I think I'm pregnant too.
I have to admit that I feel more anxious because you have really weird dreams when you're pregnant, and I feel like if you want to have weird dreams, maybe don't watch it until you've had your baby.
Like I've been having some weird dreams too.
What if I do want weird dreams? Do I have to get pregnant?
No, they're not fun weird dreams. I had
like some Philip K. Dick Electric Dreams weird dreams the other day. Like I could... Like that there was little people like this, like drones, but they were little information people.
Wow, awesome.
And they go, they come in, you just ask them a question, and they go find the answer. They come in.
I mean, more ones like finding a baby that's like got a purple face and is dying, and you got to like keep it alive.
Okay, all the best, Adi. Yeah. Great having you on board this morning.
So,
and
just, you know, I mean, it's really enjoyable, but you know, maybe you want to watch a romantic comedy instead.
Yeah, after your hardcore American drug crime drama. Yeah.
Watching someone potentially fall into the deepest hole they're going to have to try and crawl out of. Yeah. But so when's Snowfall on Neon?
Neon, it's
streaming
on Neon.
Streaming on Neon anytime.
Hop damn! So you can just get on board and say it's a great watch. It starts off and you think to yourself, oh, here we go. It's going to be one of these ones. But it's actually really great.
It's really pretty. Yeah, like
it's beautiful.
Beautifully shot.
The way they do the neighborhood, Franklin's neighborhood. It's really cool.
It's really lovely.
The whole thing is shot in this kind of like long swooping Steadicam. Shots that weave their way through like the characters and the people,
and they kick off with the whole look at this beautiful, calm, serene neighborhood.
Exactly.
And slowly watch it just
before
tumble
the tsunami of crack cocaine descends upon it.
All right, so thank you very much for coming in, Alex, Nady. All the very best to you both.
Michael.
Thanks for having us.
We've got a comprehensive review of Snowfall, and that's on Neon right now. Thank you very much.
Sure.
That was Viewmaster on 95 BFM, brought to you by Neon.